Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. That's good. Hopefully, everybody is doing well. You know, happy 4th of July weekend to everybody listening on the show. And you know what we do on this show? We talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. You know, we're going to lead off with World Cup. As, you know, the tournament is about to end, as a matter of fact, next week, Sunday. And after that, we'll talk about the latest of the NBA, you know, offseason with Carmelo Anthony getting max contract deals with offers from both the LA Lakers and Phil Jackson. So basically, Phil Jackson is going against his fiance Jeannie Buss for the rights to, but we'll talk more about that also. We'll talk about what's going on in baseball with the Mets and the Yankees. And, of course, as usual, we're going to talk sports entertainment and, you know, recap the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event that just went down 1 week ago. So with that, folks, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to speak your mind, and let's talk about the World Cup. This has been an exciting World Cup series, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely has.
But unfortunately, you know, the U.S. team, you know, they got beat by Belgium 2-1 on Tuesday. But, you know, thanks to Tim Howard, who had a brilliant performance that game, he set a career, as a matter of fact, a World Cup record, 16 saves. And he was the one that was basically keeping U.S. in the game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, no one else on the U.S. team was playing defense because the team just kept coming inside near the net all the time. I mean,
they came
inside the net so many times, they might as well, Tim Howard might as well charge them for rent. I mean, come on. Like, it was ridiculous how they just kept coming in there.
Yeah, he was blocking everything that they were
mm-hmm.
at him. He's a one-man team out there.
Oh, yeah. And ironically, in his yearbook, he said it'll take millions of a nation to hold them back. And that's basically what happened on Tuesday. You know, the Belgium team, the whole country basically was against them.
The U.S., man, they let that opportunity slip. They, a few minutes before the game ended, they had a chance to score, and kick was so high.
Yeah, I know. They had so many chances to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even funny.
Well, it was 0-0 for regulation, and they could have won it.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a chance.
They had a chance, but fortunately, they weren't able to cash it in.
Mm-hmm.
And now Belgium, they got eliminated by Argentina. So, bye-bye, Belgium.
Yeah, Argentina, that's my pick right now to win the World Cup. They have Messi. They have some great players on that team, play some great defense. They beat them 1-0 yesterday.
Oh, this is it's going to be an interesting semifinals. You know, you got Brazil versus I'm trying to remember. Germany, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's Germany.
And then Netherlands, who's never won, a formidable team who's never won the World Cup, is going to face Argentina. And then
mm-hmm.
the winners of those series is going to face off at the, World Cup finals for all the marbles.
Yeah, I think it will be Argentina, Brazil in the World Cup.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll definitely be a fascinating series, and we'll definitely talk about that next week.
Yep.
About that next week. And before we switch over to the NBA, Neymar from the Brazilian team, he suffered a major injury on, in his last game when one of the players basically his knee hit him in the back, and basically he's gone for the rest of the World Cup.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because he was playing real well. I think he had, six goals in this World Cup.
He's
one of the up-and-coming players in the world right now, and it's unfortunate that they lose him, but Brazil still has – they're still surrounded by good players. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He could still win the whole thing without him, possibly.
Yeah. It just makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's been interesting, but the finals should definitely be interesting. Ow. But with that, talking about finals, two teams, who haven't been to the finals, in a while, depending on which franchise you're talking about, they're looking to go back to the NBA Finals. And, of course, I'm talking about the New York Knicks and the LA Lakers. They're both pursuing Carmelo Anthony, who's the second best free agent after, of course, LeBron James. So basically, Phil Jackson, who's the new team president of the New York Knicks, is battling against his fiance Jeannie Buss, and you know the Laker organization for the rights, you know, to acquire Carmelo Anthony and his big contract, as both teams offered him the max contract.
Well, of course, the Knicks would be able to give him more money.
Oh yeah, Knicks can offer him $30 million more, you know, because that's their player.
Right. Yep.
And Lakers, they're not playing either. I think they offered, what was it, 4 years, $96 million. So, you know, Lakers are, you know, they're a serious threat, even though they can't offer us, you know, they can't come. Their offer doesn't compare with the Knicks offer, but you know, playing with Kobe and. It looks like Paul Gasol is going to go wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like, you know. Because Carmelo apparently is, you know, lobbying Paul Gasol to come to the Knicks. That's one of the rumors. But if he signs with the Lakers, then, you know, that's a foregone conclusion that Gasol is going to return with the Lakers as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Carmelo has a tough decision on his hands because in the offseason he lives in L.A.
Yep.
So if he does decide to go to L.A., I mean, that'll be a good transition since, you know, he lives there in offseason. And he's friends with Kobe Bryant. So, and many people are saying that, you know, he wants to win the championship. So he would have a much better opportunity at winning a championship with the Lakers, if you think about it.
For the next 2 years, as long as Kobe stays healthy, but after that, you know, he's gonna be back at basically in the Knicks situation.
Yeah,
because he would be carrying the Lakers organization basically. I mean,
pretty much.
Once Kobe retires.
Yeah.
In the next couple of years, but one more thing, you know, with Amar Stoudemire's contract, you know, set to expire next year. You know, after he opted in, you know, to his $20-something million contract this year, you know, that should expire as long as, you know, the Knicks don't do anything crazy and acquire more contracts. So, you know, they should be able to get a good player, hopefully, you know, hopefully Kevin Love or Kevin Durant, you know, somebody of that nature. And, yeah, man, hopefully Carmelo returns and, you know, within acquisitions of Calderon, who was Gasol's, you know, former teammate in the Spanish national team, you know, in the basketball, you know, the world basketball.
Yeah, on the Spanish team.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, with those acquisitions, you know, hopefully Gasol will come back and, you know, put D'Alembert on the bench. You know, it should be a decent team. Not to mention that guy they signed, what's his name, Early?
Clear
Anthony Early?
The guy they drafted. Anthony Early.
Yeah, so he's a great scorer. They have potential. You know, they just need to. Any all the pieces to fall where they may, and the number one piece is Carmelo Anthony has to resign.
Yeah, but they're still going to need a few more pieces because this team is not ready yet.
Oh yeah, I mean this is not don't get it twisted. That this team is not a championship team by any stretch of the imagination.
Far from it.
Yeah, far from it indeed. They need at least two or three superstar players to pair with Carmelo. In order for this team to, you know, actually be a threat.
And there's a possibility that they might take, Carmelo might take less money if he does sign. We'll see.
Yeah, but I don't, with the rumors with the Lakers, you know, offering the max deal too, and then Knicks offering him the max contract, there's no way he's going to leave $30 million off the table. I just don't see that. As much as he wants to win, I can't see him turning down a max contract and taking less money. I'd be pleasantly surprised if that happened, but
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening.
Gotta wait and see. He'll probably make his decision this week.
Yeah. That's the whole rumor. So it should be early this week he makes his decision. But by the next week's episode for this show, we should know the result of his decision. Hopefully it's a good result for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see about that. But shifting gears with the Mets. They beat the Texas Rangers earlier today by the final score of 8-4. Wheeler bounced back from some shaky starts he's had recently. He improves his record to 4-8. Anthony Recker, he hits a 3-run home run, the backup catcher for the Mets. And basically, Mets are, they're in the middle of their 10-game home stretch. So hopefully they can, win out until this All-Star break, which is coming up next week. So, hopefully they could go on a run.
So you guys went to against the Rangers?
Yes, we did. We lost yesterday. And we won the first game 6-5.
Okay.
So, hopefully they'll keep it up. And I don't know if you heard, there's rumors that Mets are among one of the team, even including you guys, the Yankees. There's some of, I'd say, about 6 or 7 teams that are interested in the Cubs' shortstop, Starling Castro. And the rumor is that Mets would have to give up Noah Syndergaard and the aforementioned Zach Wheeler in that trade.
Wow.
I mean, he's a good player, but I don't know. That might be too much. I mean, of course, to get a player like that, and plus there's some, he's not always a hustler. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's a good player. He's a terrific hitter. 2-time All-Star. Probably make it into the All-Star game this year again. But,
yeah.
I don't know. If it was Tulowitzki, I'd be like, fine. I don't want to give up Syndergaard. I definitely don't want to give up Syndergaard. Wheeler, I'm a little hesitant. Even though he hasn't been really that consistent, throughout his career, but those are two power arms. So
yeah,
I don't know.
You need pitching more than you need hitting.
Exactly, and Mets finally have some pitching depth.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give that up unless if you have a surefire, superstar player, like a Stanton. Or Cabrera, somebody on that level,
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Somebody who, that could mirror the Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter deals that the Mets did in the, in the mid 80s. Once you see that trade, you're like, wow, Mets are serious. Mets are really ready to win now. But right now, I just don't see that. I don't see that happening.
Maybe this kid could be, he could be up there with a Cabrera. Who knows? I mean, he's still young.
I mean, he's young, but I don't know. From what I hear, he doesn't always hustle all the time. So
yeah,
I don't know. True. A guy like that,
you want to be careful.
Yeah, because especially when the team is horrible, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah, that's true. That player will adapt to that team and become horrible himself.
For real. Believe me. Mets have had a lot of Hall of Fame guys who come to the Mets. Alomar. Excuse me. I must have had a cough there. And then, they just suck once they put on the Mets uniform.
Yeah.
So, I'm very, cautious about that. But hopefully,
I'd love
them
on my team.
Yeah, well, you probably might, because the rumors is that most likely it's going to happen in the off season, and of course, you know, Derek Jeter is going to retire at the
yep.
end of this year, and who knows how long Jimmy Rollins has on the Phillies. So
yeah,
so you know, that's something worth watching in the future. And speaking of the Phillies and the Yankees, there's rumors that, you know, maybe the Yankees might try to get a trade to you know, acquire Cliff Lee, the man who, you know, basically was the only guy who prevented the Yankees from sweeping, you know, the Phillies in the World Series of, you know, 2009. And, of course, he signed with, you know, he had a chance to sign with the Yankees, but, you know, he chose instead to, you know, to stay with the Phillies. So, you know, basically, you guys are interested. And I know, of course, you know, Yankees are trying to build upon, you know, today's win. And, one more thing. Do you know, you heard about Vidal Nuno being traded?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We traded him for we traded him to the D-backs for Brandon McCarthy, and designated Alfonso Soriano for assignment for reliever Bruce Billings. Soriano has been struggling, so we sent him down to Triple-A just so he could work on his swing. You know, and if he does good in Triple-A, we'll bring him back up. But yeah, he's been struggling.
Wait, so was he sent down or was he designated for assignment?
He was designated for assignment.
But will he accept the thing? Because once you're designated for assignment, don't you have, like, 10 days to, like, trade the person or cut the person or else, like, you know, the person could be claimed or something like that?
I'm not sure. I think so.
Once you designate someone for assignment, you're going to have to trade that person or cut them if that person doesn't, you know, report. If that person doesn't get claimed, then he could decide, you know, as a free agent, whether he's going to, you know, go to, you know, report to AAA.
Right.
Or, you know, be a free agent.
I think he'll go to AAA. I think that'll be the spot. Because, I mean, Soriano is getting up there in age. I don't think that many teams will be interested in him. There might be some teams that may need some hitting. You know, but we got to be honest. This is not that Alfonso Soriano
from 2001,
10 years ago. You know,
yeah.
He's older. He's a I mean, he could still hit for power. No doubt about that. But he's getting up there. You know, same guy that we saw 10 years ago.
For sure.
But
the question is, would he be willing to go down? I mean, he, you know, after all these years being in the big leagues, would he be? I mean, Yankees would be the only team I could see him maybe doing it, but you know, these guys have pride. I don't know if we'll see if he'll be willing to go down and try to resurrect
right.
his career.
Right. I hope he does to work on his swing, and hopefully he comes back. We'll see.
So what's your thoughts on how the Yankees are performing lately?
Well, we really need the series to keep up with this division race in the American League East. 1-3 out of 3 from the Twins this weekend. Friday, it started Thursday where we got a 7-4 win. Tanaka got his 12th win of the season. Friday we lost Friday we won 3-1, actually 6-5. It was a battle of the bullpens. Yesterday we lost a close one, 2-1,
right,
on Cervelli's throwing error. And then today we start the game leading 7-0, and the Twins ended up scoring 7 unanswered runs to come close to tying the game. But that's as close as they got today. So we ended up winning today 9-7, and we end up winning the series 3-4 to keep up with the division race in the AL East. So, you know, even though the Blue Jays, you know, they're leading the division right now, they're not running away with it. So, Yankees still have a chance to win this thing.
You're absolutely right. You know, and Plus, Minnesota is hosting the All-Star game. So,
yeah.
That's something worth noting.
Next weekend.
Yep. Well, it should be Tuesday, but...
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, because it's usually on Tuesdays. The All-Star...
Right. You're right. Well, is it?
So it's next week. So it's, next week.
Is this Tuesday?
No, not this Tuesday coming up. The one after
that. Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Yeah, so it's like two Tuesdays from now.
Okay.
What was I going to say? The Money in the Bank, ladder match pay-per-view event. It was the problem with it was it was predictable. Everything you thought was going to happened. John Cena won. I'm just surprised why I didn't pick John Cena to win, because that was the obvious pick. You know, I thought WWE was going to try to pass the torch, make Roman Reigns win it, Bray Wyatt, or Cesaro win, but, you know, typical WWE, you know, they got to do the typical storyline, you know. Congratulations to Seth Rollins, he won, but that was expected also.
Yeah.
And one thing that annoyed me was that Kane had to interfere in both matches.
That's true.
It was basically the same storyline. The same storyline for both ladder matches. I'm sorry.
Although, in the second match, he was not successful.
Yeah, he wasn't successful because it was John Cena. When was the last time John Cena lost to Kane?
Wow, I can't.
Well, think about that.
I can't remember.
Because every time he's, for the last, two or three years, ooh, you're going to face Kane. Uh-oh, he's going to face Kane. And he always loses to Kane. I mean, Cena always beats Kane. Cena always beats Kane. I mean, come on. Remember there was that time, it was a few years ago when Kane was trying to drive Cena crazy before his feud with The Rock? I think it was the first time he was going to face The Rock. You know, and Cena was going to be, turn heel. And, that never happened. I mean, come on. Kane is like a semi-jobber, man. I mean, he could beat everybody else except for Cena. Cena has his number.
Yeah.
For real. I mean, he could beat anybody else except for Cena. And what killed the whole Kane gimmickly, him turning him into a corporate Kane. Which is basically like what they did with Big Show when Big Show sold out and became a reluctant heel, and was doing the authority's bidding and was crying, basically. I mean, that's just been – those are the two guys who always turn to good guys, bad guys on a drop of a hat. I mean, those guys, they should retire. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more for them to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, it's the same storyline with these guys.
Yeah, and I had a feeling John Cena was going to win Money in the Bank.
I had a feeling, but I was like, nah. I mean, it's like WWE. I mean, they're going to try to make this is a huge opportunity to develop new stars, push them, make new champions. But nope, John Cena got to win again for the 15th time.
Like, 18th?
15. No, 15 17 is later this year.
15, I lost count, so.
It's 15. I thought it was 187, but apparently it's 15. But what was I going to say? What else happened? I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, but forget about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view because, basically all the predictable stuff happened. Raw was actually better. And, AJ returned and defeated Paige to become the new Divas champion again, which looks like Paige is going to turn into a heel now. And they're going to have an epic rivalry between those two ladies.
That should be good.
And Jericho returns after Miz also returns. And looks like he's going to face him tomorrow night on Raw. And Jericho's going to have a feud with the Wyatt family after the Wyatt family members attacked them. So that's something worth watching as well.
Yeah. And it looks like the Funkadactyl girls are going to split.
Oh, yep, that's true. Yeah, it looks like that's the end of the Funkadactyls for sure.
Yeah.
As Naomi becomes a, you know, she's a championship caliber diva now. So
mm-hmm.
that's something worth noting as well. Anything you'd like to say?
That's pretty much it. Hope you guys enjoyed your July 4th. Catch my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11, and check out this show, Sports and Religion, every Sundays at 6.
Thank you very much. You heard the guy. Check out both of our shows. And we hope you have enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. So, with Macaulay Matthews, I'm William Ramo. See you guys later. Peace.
Peace.